Sunday the 28th of January 2018, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Yahweh. Sermon title, Yahweh Rapha Healer. Bible reading, Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 27. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding.
The waters of Marah and Elim. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they travelled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place was called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they went to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Carol, for reading God's word. We continue with our series on names for God, and this morning we're going to be looking at Yahweh Rapha. So let us just bring ourselves before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, that as we look into your word, that you would speak into our lives. Father, would you use your words in a mighty way? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we're looking at a passage that is probably not so well known. But in these few short verses, we find some wonderful gems about how God, Yahweh, Rapha, the healer, takes care of his children. Nothing can match God's majestic holiness, his awesome glory, and his wonderful works which he displayed so mightily in the liberation of the Israelites from the bondage of Egypt. For a brief moment, the Israelites were thankful for God's awesome salvation, power, and goodness, and their hearts overflowed with praise. But that would all change as the journey began into the wilderness towards the promised land. It did not take long for them to forget the salvation, strength, guidance, glory, and magnificent works of Yahweh and begin to complain and murmur against God and Moses when they came to Marah and found that they could not drink the water. Unbelief dominated their minds, and they refused to believe that God could provide water to drink, even after they had witnessed countless awesome acts of God's power to free them from Egypt. Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, which he threw into the water, and the water became sweet. God, Yahweh, Rapha, means the Lord heals. And once again, God reveals himself to his people and uses creation to heal creation. As Moses throws the wood into the water, God's power begins to bring healing to the water, allowing the people to be able to drink it. Healing is an integral part of God's good nature and his will for every single child of God. The word heal in the Hebrew means to heal, to restore, to cure, to repair, to make healthful, to mend, and to make whole. It is God who is our healer, restorer, mender, repairer, and the one who makes us healthful and whole. Healing is not an occasional thing that God does when he feels like it, but what God is. The touch of the Master's hand in our lives bring healing and wholeness. We see this throughout the Bible. Sometimes God uses creation to heal creation, as in this passage, or in other passages. We see he uses mud to bring sight to the blind, saliva to open the ears of a deaf man. And of course, he also uses the medical profession. God also heals directly. And in the story of the healing waters, when the crippled man was unable to get into the water, and Jesus said, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk," the man was instantly healed, as with the centurion's servant, just to mention a few. God is not just a God of physical healing, but he is the God of emotional, mental, and spiritual healing. God not only heals the body, but he heals the soul, the mind, and the emotions. He is God who mends and repairs, not tears apart, and a God of life, not death. I know that we pray for healing, and we do not always see God's healing power in our lives, in the here and now. And that's because we live in a fallen world. The perfect world that God created, which had no pain, death or sickness, was marred by the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And when they disobeyed God, sin entered the world, which affected our relationship with God and his creation. And until Jesus' return, we will continually see sickness, pain and death. We are living in the in-between times of Genesis and Revelations. So what does this mean for us? Three possible thoughts. The first, we must recognise it hurts. As I look around this morning, I doubt if there is one person who does not understand what it means to hurt, whether it is physical pain or emotional. And when I think of answering a question about why does God allow suffering and hurtful situations, my mind always goes to Job, a faithful man whom God loved, but he suffered terrible loss and pain. Throughout his suffering, however, God never left him. He was always with him. And that is the one thing that I always hold on to, is when I face difficult and hurtful times, that God is with me. And it is something that we all need to hang on to during times of loss and painful situations. When we lose a loved one, it hurts. Going through prolonged suffering hurts. But it doesn't just hurt us. It also breaks God's heart to see us suffering in any way or form. That was not his intention for the world he originally created. And when we are facing the hurts of this world, we might well ask, what does God do when life hurts? Well, the truth is, God cares about your hurts. And he still loves you and cares for you. And he wants to bring healing, although it may not always be in the way that any of us expect it to be. Life at times can be a series of hurts, and as we face them, they can either defeat us or develop us according to how we respond to them. Unfortunately, most people fail to see how God wants to use the hurts that we face by turning them around for good in our lives. And I know that might sound a bit of a cliche, but it's not meant to be. Because sometimes when we are going through the most difficult times of our lives, God is able to use them to help and encourage not only ourselves, but others. And some of the many reasons that God allows us to hurt is to prepare us to be the radiant bride of Christ. God has a big job to do, changing his ragamuffin church into a glorious bride worthy of the Lamb. And secondly, but we know the victory is ours. So how do we know this victory to be true? Because God has already set it in motion by sending his son Jesus. And although we do not see his full restoration yet, we are assured that through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have been set free of the sins that hold us in bondage. And one day we will live with God in the heavenly realms, because as we look at the world in which we live, we see a world in the same condition as the Israelites were when they were enslaved in Egypt. Just as God allowed the Israelites to go down into Egypt so they could be free from slavery, so God has allowed creation to be subjected to its present condition, with summer and winter, growth and decay, birth and death. Creation can be both beautiful and destructive. We only have to think of the autumn leaves as they turn to many different glorious colours, or when snow first falls, the enjoyment we feel and see. However, those things we first enjoyed change. The leaves turn brown and fall from the trees, and the snow soon turns to slush and causes havoc. And the beauty of creation often ends in tears, or at least a shrug of the shoulders. Or what about earthquakes, flooding and volcanoes? In them, we can see the sense, the awe of creation, a bit like a caged lion roaring to be set free. All that energy, and it's not achieving anything. And what about the promise that the wolf and the lamb will lie down together? Is that happening now? Or is it just a dream? No, says God, it isn't a dream, it's a promise. All these things are signs that the world is groaning. And although it is still God's good creation and pregnant with his power and glory, it is not currently the way it should be. Something has gone terribly wrong. Humanity was put in charge of creation, but when we rebelled, creation fell into disrepair, and we are living in the in-between times of God's creation and his return. And when that day happens, there will be a new heaven and earth, with no more crying, pain, mourning, or dying, because the world will be renewed. A world as God intended it to be. But until that day, we remain in a broken and fallen world. The entire creation is waiting on tiptoe, longing for us to again take our place under God and over the world, worshipping the Creator and being excellent stewards over his world. Which leads me to my final thought. We must pray without ceasing. Several years ago, the American Heart Association published the results of a remarkable scientific study. In 1998, Dr. Randy Bird did a study of 393 coronary care patients at Duke University Hospital. Dr. Bird is not a Christian, and this is not a Christian study. But he asked a question: does prayer have an impact on patients' healing? Without the patient knowing, people were asked to pray for only half of the heart patients. The groups were comparable in age and severity of medical conditions. The people praying were given the names of the patients and their diagnosis, and were asked to pray every day for their healing and recovery. Dr. Bird compared the outcome of each group and found those patients who were prayed for did better than those who were not. It was amazing. Everything from recovery rates, hospital stay, length of medication, type of procedure needed was better for the group that was prayed for. And just to prove this was not a Christian study, they observed that distance of those praying for the patients made no difference. And the fact that the patients didn't know that they were being prayed for proved that healing wasn't psychosomatic or a psychological trick. The truth is, God cares about us, just as he cared about the Israelites when lovingly, in verse 25, he chose this moment to reveal to the Israelites another important characteristic of his nature and a wonderful covenant promise of healing. Yahweh Rapha's healing power can make all the bitter areas of our life sweet. He can completely remove the stinging numbness and deep pain of bitterness and restore sweet joy and peace to every fiber of our being. God's healing balm flushes away all bitterness and gives us a new day to live in his healing grace and wholeness. God wants our soul to bathe in the sweetness of his love, where bitterness has no place, to let go of the things that hold us at arm's length from God as we come before him in prayer, seeking his will in our lives. The Lord is saying to all of us, I am Yahweh Rapha, and I will restore you from every wound of bitterness, every disappointment, heartache, burden, hurt, and every sickness. He is offering total healing and restoration, and is waiting for us to trust in him and his word, because he wants us back in his loving embrace, enjoying the full comfort of his healing presence. Healing is not some ancient thing of the past or only in Bible times. God does not change. He remains the same, and his healing power enables us to live full and complete lives in physical, mental, emotional and spiritual harmony. I believe the bitter water of Marah is symbolic of what is taking place in the hearts of many in our world today. They have forgotten the promise of God and the freedom he has given, because sometimes life is not as easy and pretty as we had hoped it to be. So folk have stopped relying on God for everything and gone their own way, allowing their hearts to be filled with worldly ways. God knows our need for healing, and he longs to bring that healing to us And he is able to do that through prayer. If only we would let go of self and come before him on bended knees, asking him once again to rule over our lives. Jesus taught us to continually cry out to God, praying without ceasing. Jesus even gave us the best prayer that we could ever pray, and that's the Lord's Prayer. There is not time to go into this prayer in depth, but let's just remind ourselves what it is that we pray for. We pray, let your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Do we really mean it when we pray these words? Or is that what we really want? To see God reigning over our entire lives and this world. We pray for forgiveness and often forget the second part of this prayer. As we forgive others and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is that the life we want to live? Or are we saying, deliver us from some temptations and some evil? Because there are times that we forget who it is we are really serving. God is a living God and with us now. He knows our comings and goings, every thought and action we say and do. God is in the process of bringing miracles, not only to our lives as individuals, but to the world collectively. He is waiting for us to come before him. So let's apply these words to our hearts as we allow Yahweh Rapha to examine them and restore us back to himself. Because he is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. And he longs to heal all our infirmities, physical, emotion, resentfulness, bitterness and pride. If we will trust him and walk before him in obedience, God has made it possible for all to know him and experience his amazing grace. If only all are willing to come before him in prayer and thanksgiving. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who loves to heal. You are a God that continues to do miracles. Father, help us to see those miracles in our lives. Father, we pray that when we go through those difficult times, we will see that you are with us, that you love us, and you continue to hold us in your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.